Thank you for tuning in to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm your program producer, Luke Zemlich. On Epiphany, our goal is to have a moment, an epiphany that will bring us all closer to God. So stick around to have an epiphany with us.
Hello, everybody. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich with the Epiphany Radio Show here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, as well as in we broadcast in the Diocese of Grand Rapids as well. And we have a special guest with us today who is Chuck Harvey. He's with the King's Men, also the program called Into the Wild. And we're going to talk about ways of strengthening men and their families and their children that are in those families and some of the things that they do in this program. But first of all, Chuck, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Deacon.
It's good to have you here. And we'll start with
good
a prayer.
Be
we're going to ask for the intercession of St. Augustine, who is their patron saint. So let us begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing Chuck with us today to talk about this very important subject of men and how men impact our communities, impact our lives, and fathers and the great good that they do. We ask for the intercession of St. Augustine, such a great saint early on in the church, a doctor of the church, and still continues to help us, and also the patron saint of our diocese. And so we ask for the intercession of St. Augustine that this be a fruitful and wonderful subject for us to talk about today on the Epiphany Radio program. So, Chuck, can you you might want to share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and your ministry. I met you at the men's conference, and it really sounds like a very dynamic program. I'm thinking about myself going. I've talked to a couple of my boys, and they're thinking about it right now. So
that'd be great. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, we really want to do this because it really sounds great. And it's going to be at this is October 9th through the 12th, correct?
Yes, 9th through the 12th.
And this is
the Kowan Scott Reservation right there in Kalamazoo.
Okay, so it's going to be an awesome program. So we'll just kind of set the table here. So we hope that you listen into the program, folks, because this is going to be very exciting, and they're going to be back hopefully year after year if this is a good program where a lot of people show up. Hopefully they'll be back year after year. So, Chuck, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I won't give you my whole life history, but I'll give you a little bit about my my faith journey, and then I want to focus on what impact actually Into the Wild and the Kingsmen had on me personally.
That'd be nice.
Which actually led me to get involved with the apostolate on a full-time basis. So I'm from the Philadelphia area. I'm actually speaking to you from Philadelphia right now. So I grew up in Philadelphia. I went to Catholic school through eighth grade. So I'm a cradle Catholic. Our family was probably more of Sioners in terms of going to Mass, and so even though I went to Catholic school,
that would
always
be Christmas,
Mass every Sunday.
That would be Christmas and Easter.
I'm sorry. Christmas and Easter, right, exactly. So after eighth grade, I kind of drifted from the church. I was all anxious to get out of Catholic school, and so for the most part, I kind of was away from the church, never formally left the church, but away from the church through high school and through most of college. And then I met a girl at college, and she did a funny thing every Saturday before we all went out. She'd go to Mass. So so I actually started going to Mass. I don't know if I can I say Penn State on the air in Michigan?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So fellow Big Ten school, right? So so I actually started going back to Mass in my junior year in college, and eventually that girlfriend became my fiance and became my wife. So once we got married, she'd go to Mass every Sunday. I would go, when she could drag me there. And then once we had kids, started going more regularly because we had them in Catholic school and just wanted to, set a good example. But never really was bought in completely. And then, about 7 years ago, probably a little bit before that, ironically, since we're going to be the scout reservation for this Into the Wild, I got involved in scouts with my son, and through the course of going out and camping and talking around the campfire and and also talking to some evangelicals who were in our scout troop, I really started to explore, you know, what is this whole, what's this whole God thing all about? And so eventually, and I tend to be a little bit more in the head as opposed to heart, so through a lot of reading and research, and I got to the point where I got it in my head that there, you know, there in fact was a God, and that, that the Christian idea of God made the most sense. So again, I won't go through my whole story, but through a series of coincidences, air quotes, the Holy Spirit put some people in my life, including at one point I hired a guy who worked for me who was a Baptist minister, and he used to challenge me on, you know, what I really believe, because we would have all these great intellectual arguments, but he always would challenge me on what was in my heart.
Awesome. That's
and
good.
So eventually, one Saturday morning, and actually as I look out my window, there's a Methodist church right outside my window, and one Saturday morning back in 2007, or I'm sorry, Sunday morning, I was in my back patio, and I just had something overcame me that said, you know what, you need to go over and go to their 10:30 service. And I had lived next to this church for years and years and years, and never actually, you know, set foot in there in terms of their service. And I walked over there and snuck in the back, and the pastor was talking about Peter getting out of the boat and how the rest of the apostles, people criticized Peter for giving up his faith and falling, but then he said at least he got out of the boat, right?
That's right.
It was sort of one of those moments where it's like, okay, somebody here is trying to get out of the boat, right? So I thought he was talking to me. So I stepped out of the boat that day, but at the same time, I was very involved in my parish. So I got involved in a program for the Archdiocese to learn how to sort of be a more effective and involved layperson, continue to be involved in Scouts. And eventually through Scouts, somebody put me, through Scouts, I got up at a back-to-school event at my parish and talked about how our troop was Christ-centered and we're, you know, it's all about Christ, and which unfortunately sometimes is a little shocking, even in a Catholic school, right? And so a guy grabbed me afterward and said, you know what, I really appreciate what you said, and you need to know about the Kingsmen, and you need to know about this thing called Into the Wild.
Wow.
Because it really fit into the whole, you know, the Scout thing and the idea of developing boys and men as leaders. So that's what led me to then get involved and go to my first Into the Wild.
Awesome.
So back in 2009, I went to my first In the Wild at French Creek State Park out here in eastern Pennsylvania, and I got to tell you, it was a life-changing event, because for me, that's one of the things I think the Kingsmen is all about. For me as a Catholic man, it was the first time where I experienced the faith in a masculine way. You know, and when I say that, you know, I'm no like macho, you know, athlete type guy, but the whole idea of going to a place where I heard men saying the rosary,
yeah,
and I heard men singing hymns at mass and being engaged in the mass. Unfortunately for me, that was a very foreign experience for me. I had never experienced that in the Catholic Church. In fact, even up to that point, you know, most of my male Christian friends were often Protestants, because they seemed to be more comfortable sort of blending, you know, their masculinity with their faith,
mm-hmm.
where I didn't experience that, at least up to that point. So so once I did that, I got very involved. I became a volunteer with the Kingsmen. I was a volunteer leader for a lot of the End of the Wild retreat. Eventually was on the board of the Kingsmen, and then last year my wife and I sat down and made a pretty tough life decision, and I basically left my my corporate life and decided to step out in faith and work full time for the apostolate. So that's,
wow,
that's how I'm here today.
Man, good for you. And how is it going?
It's going very well. I mean, it's obviously I'm sure you know it's a whole different experience working in ministry and working within in the church, but it's been going. You know, the Holy Spirit has just been pouring gifts on this apostolate. The apostolate's been growing,
yeah,
in terms of our parish formation groups. It's growing in terms of this year we're going to have 7 Into the Wild retreats, which is the most we've ever had in a year. We also have a new healing retreat we started last year called Samson, which is also growing. So things have been going very well. The Holy Spirit has been really blessing this apostolate, and you know, we seem to be having an impact on men, which is what we're really all about.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the teaching, just the teaching itself on the Holy Spirit, you know, the teaching on the Trinity itself, when you bring that up to including people who are Baptist or who are from other faiths, they really try to, in some ways, stay away from that because it's very deep teaching. You know, they think, well, you know, the ones who really engage it are the Pentecostals, the Pentecostal
right.
church. And, of course, in the Catholic Church, the charismatic side of the church is really starting to grow and pick up on this as well. But I often say to people, especially it seems this year, the power of the Holy Spirit to just say that simple prayer, come Holy Spirit. And for men, especially when you're thinking about maybe doing something like this, of course, the Holy Spirit is constantly pouring out and constantly talking. God's constantly talking to us, asking us to do exactly what you have done, which is, you know, you take this risk. Of course, we're just asking, you know, challenging men to step out for 3 days to engage themselves.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's like a lot of things, and I think Matthew Kelly talks about this. It's like exercise. It's like, you know, you can't judge what something's going to be based on how you feel before you do it. It's how do you feel after you're done. And just like exercise and a lot of other things or prayer, Into the Wild is something that I guarantee men are going to be different on Sunday when they leave than when they showed up on Thursday. It just, because like you're saying with the Holy Spirit, I mean, we sort of joke about it because, you know, in our apostolate, I'm sort of the, I guess, relatively speaking, you know, I'm the more concrete business kind of guy. So sometimes I tend to, you know, want to control and plan things. But what we joke about is, you know, our job is basically to get everybody there. And once everybody's there, the Holy Spirit takes over for the weekend. I mean,
right.
And it happens every time.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every time. It doesn't matter if it's raining, if it's sunny, if it's cold, if it's hot. It doesn't matter if, you know, we had more trouble or less trouble getting guys to show up. It doesn't matter. Once it starts, it's always special. The Holy Spirit always takes over.
Yeah.
And guys have a fantastic experience where by Sunday, they're different men. They are. I know that happened to me, and it happens to me, even though I've been to about 10 of them myself, it still happens to me every time,
yeah.
You know, because it's not about us. It's really the Spirit at work.
There's something new. There's always, and this is the, you know, the spiritual life where, and sometimes people will think that, you know, okay, that this is it. You know, this is what life's always about, you know, and I often say, especially for men, you know, it's life is not just about working and dying. You know,
right.
there's more to it than that. So, but we have to take risk here and there with God, with the Holy Spirit, and say, you know, what's your plan for me? What do you want me to do?
You know, and when you say about that's a good point. That you know, I think sometimes men, as men, we get caught up in that. That in our whole life is about working our whole life, and then at the end, we die, and we hope we're remembered at our funeral. And what we try to do in the Kingsmen, you know, beyond the retreat, our whole mission is to challenge that, challenge men to know you have a much more noble cause, right? You have a cause to be a leader, protector, and provider throughout your life for your family, for your community, anyone who's in your periphery, and that you need to be engaged in the world. You need to be engaged in the culture, and that men get their hearts get stirred and their masculinity gets tapped into when they have a noble battle to fight. You know, otherwise, you know, I think when men don't realize that, they fight battles on, you know, on PlayStation, right?
or they fight it
through the NFL, right? They're not really personally engaged. They become spectators,
right?
Or they do it in a virtual world. But we're calling men to say, no, there's a real world out there. There's a real battle going on between good and evil,
yep.
And that you as men are called to be engaged in that battle, and you know it's not a spectator sport,
right? And many men don't realize it either. You know, if you're caught in addiction, you know, and I know this firsthand. You know, I lived the alcoholic lifestyle. I've been sober for 20 years now, but I'll tell you what: when you're in that mode. everything seems, it seems like it's a normal way of living, but it's horrible. It's a horrible way to live. And you're blind. And you're blind, so you don't know what's going on. You don't know which end is up, what's right, what's wrong, and only when you stop, and sometimes a retreat like this can do just the thing to where it stops you to take a look at yourself and say, gee whiz, you know, I've got to make some changes. So. Everybody gets there on Thursday. What time on Thursday? Can you kind of walk us through the
absolutely.
How it would go? I mean, it is
sure. So let me give you an overview of the retreat. So the whole retreat we only emphasize is an experiential retreat, which means there's not a whole lot of talking in the sense of, you know, formal lectures and
okay.
You know, there is mass every day. We have a homily every day, and the whole weekend is built around the theme of leader, protector, and provider. So we have a leader day, a protector day, and a provider day. And there is a brief, you know, inspirational talk each day around those themes. But most of the activity, or most of the weekend, is getting out and doing things. So guys arrive on Thursday. Registration starts 4 p.m. on Thursday evening. And people arrive and, you know, and we get them situated, get them in their cabins. And then we meet for dinner. And then after dinner and around 8 o'clock, we'll have mass. And then what we do is we have Eucharistic adoration, perpetual adoration the whole weekend. After mass on Thursday, we have a Eucharistic procession out to the adoration chapel. And then that evening, we have what are called platoon campfires. So what we do is we break the whole group. You know, we would anticipate, I mean, we usually have, the most we've ever had at a retreat is probably about 130 guys, but usually we have around 90 or 100 guys. We're hoping for actually probably 120 or 130 in Kalamazoo. But we break the groups into platoons so that you have a more intimate band of brothers that you can kind of get to know and meet and mm-hmm. be with the whole weekend as opposed to getting lost, right, in a crowd of 100, 120 guys.
Sure.
So that first night is basically welcoming, you know, mass, procession, and then a campfire. And then Friday is our what we call the leader day. So the big activity on the leader day is we do an orienteering competition. And for those of you who don't know what orienteering is exactly, it's basically a map and compass competition. It's actually a sport, and a lot of more popular in Europe. But it's a sport where you basically, using map and compass in teams, go out through the woods. And there'll be points you have to find, you know, that are, you have to find them. Then as you get to each one, they're worth a certain point value. And basically, it's a competition where the teams go out and come back and, you know, whoever accumulates the most points wins. So it's a fun activity. It's a great way for guys and their sons, especially sometimes, you know, the sons show up and they're Boy Scouts, so they already have an edge, supposedly.
Sure.
you know, they basically go out and do that orienteering competition, teaches them all about leadership, trust, teamwork, right? So then in the afternoon, there's some free time, but also we then get into, we have a holy hour on Friday afternoon. We have priests come in. There'll be probably about half dozen or more priests to come in, and we have confession. And then there's mass Friday evening.
Awesome.
And then on Friday and Saturday evening, we have a thing called training under torchlight. Now, training under torchlight is really it's a bonfire for the entire group, and it's an opportunity for guys, you know, to get up and really share what's on their heart, you know, their struggles, maybe their victories, you know, and guys are pretty open during these training under torchlights,
and that's basically voluntarily. I mean, you don't.
It's absolutely voluntary.
Not forcing people. If someone is more of a contemplative person, you know, they want to enjoy this retreat quietly. They don't feel like they want to speak or stand up in front of a bunch of people. They're not going to be forced to do that.
Right. No one's forced. In fact, that's true for the whole weekend. I mean, obviously, if you're going to come and not do anything, you're not going to get much out of it. But what we tell people is, you know, we're here to challenge you, but this is not, you know, boot camp, right?
Right.
If something is too strenuous, then, you know, just take a break and go and pray. And don't, you know, so cool. We're challenging guys, but we're not trying to drive them into the ground, right?
You bet.
And I would point out
they're not joining the Marine Corps on Monday.
Exactly. And I have to assure you and assure your audience, this is something that for everybody. We have guys who are experienced woodsmen. We have guys who have never been, you know, camping in their whole life. What's great about this, kind of tying it back to training under torchlight, I think the most powerful thing that happens on this weekend, and also when you're talking about guys struggling with addictions, right?
It's
usually by like Friday night, people come to the realization, hey, I'm not the only one.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, I thought I was the only wacko, right? I thought I was the only one who thought this way, who worried about that, who was addicted to this or this.
Right.
And I couldn't imagine a million years ever saying that or sharing that with another guy, especially.
Right.
And what guys find out this weekend is they're not alone.
But
not only not alone, but they have a band of brothers who are not going to judge them.
That's right.
Who are going to listen to what they have to say, who are going to share their struggles. And it's such a liberating thing. I mean, you sort of see the mood just shift by like Friday afternoon because, you know, of course Thursday, you know, being guys, everybody has to come and sort of, you know, pose and check each other out. But then once we break bread together, once you see how welcoming the volunteers are that are running the retreat, once you see how open the other guys are, it just becomes it just takes a weight off of people's chest that, hey, you're not alone in this. We all have these issues. One of the most powerful things sometimes there's a guy who appears to be the most confident, who's got it all together, and by Friday night or Saturday night, he's sharing it. Hey, man, you know what? I'm just as scared as you guys are.
That's right.
You know, I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about what my wife. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that the guys share that just makes it much easier to realize that you're not alone.
And a lot of healing happens at that point, too. Once we open up, once we start talking about it, this cognitive healing is amazing. I mean, just knowing that, I think a big problem that we have in the world today is this expectation. We all think that this expectation that we're all supposed to be tough and nothing's supposed to hurt us. And, you know, I heard a young man who was, 30 years old, who's in jail, who basically grew up on the streets of Detroit, fatherless and motherless. And he was told, you know, real men don't cry. And, you know, I said, that's the lie of the devil. You know, real men do cry. And real men get baptized.
Absolutely.
And real men marry the women that they love. And real men love them and love their children and love their families and struggle. And it's tough, but it's something that we're all called to do. And every day we're called to do that, you know, and hopefully this is kind of a good module for some type of training too, for men to know how to approach one another, to be able to minister at some level, of course. You know, we're not all psychologists or counselors, but we can help it. We can help it in a lot of different areas in regards to this.
Right, and what you're saying is it's just so true, because I think what guys discover on these weekends is that, you know, I thought this was the right thing to do or want to do, but
right.
The world keeps telling me other things. And my friends sometimes, unfortunately, you know, sitting around the bar tell me these other things. But these guys here, actually, they got their compass on straight, and we're all on the same page that, no, we should be marrying the women we love, and we shouldn't be cohabitating with them.
That's right.
We should love them, and we should protect them, and that's all good stuff. And the world tells you it's not. And when you're out there by yourself, it can feel that way. You're all alone. But because a big part of what we're saying as an apostolate is that men have to have that band of brothers throughout their life, and so one of the things we do emphasize at these retreats is you just don't like experience the retreat and then like by the following Wednesday it's all washed away, right? You need to go back to your home, you need to go back to your parish,
right?
And you need to reach out to other men And that's where we encourage guys, if they don't already have them, you know, to form. We have our parish formation group, so that you have your band of brothers on an ongoing basis, who are people you can rely on, who are going to keep you on the straight and narrow,
right?
And that you can trust to share your struggles. So
right now we have a little bit of that at our parish, St. John Bosco Parish in Matawan, but it mainly manifests itself in our Knights of Columbus group,
right?
But there's still a lot of men. There's still, you know, and that's fine. But when you get into, you know, intimate sharing about things that you're challenged with, that's really almost a separate group.
Right.
You know.
If I can, I'll talk about our formation groups a little bit.
Absolutely.
If you want to get back to the retreat weekend, but
okay.
That's what our formation groups are really designed to be, is that at a parish level, we have a very simple format where guys get together once a week, pray the rosary, read. We have a suggested list of books they can read about masculine spirituality, the masculine journey. And then at the end, there's what we call the four C's, which is like a brief, sort of accountability section where we talk about, what are our commitments, what are our challenges. You know, we challenge each other to meet those commitments. We confirm one another, and we may confess things that it's not sacramental confession, but we might confess things we're dealing with. And what we do, we tell men, and we tell the pastors of the parishes, and we tell Knights of Columbus, this is not a a competition with, the Knights of Columbus or existing men's organization. This serves a specific purpose.
Correct.
That complements those organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Where guys can get together specifically for the purpose of trying to share with each other, you know, what they're struggling with as men, and holding each other accountable and supporting one another.
Absolutely. That's very good. I'm going to just let me, Chuck, if I can jump in for just a second here. I want everybody to know your website, too, which is it's intothewildweekend.com. So intothewildweekend.com. If you want to go to that, you can check that out. And if you're just joining us, this is Deacon Louis Zemlich with Holy Family Radio and 91.5 in Kalamazoo and 1140 AM in the Grand Rapids area. And we're speaking today with Chuck Harvey, who is with All the King's Men. It's a Into the Wild weekend project Into the Wild weekend retreat, which is happening October 9th through the 12th. And so you can go online to sign up for this retreat. And can you tell us how much is the retreat again?
Well, the retreat is the regular price is $235.
Okay.
Per participant. We also have different packages if you go to our website for, like, if you rent a cabin of four, or if you have what we call as a squad, you get 12 guys, and there's even more of a discount if you
fill
a whole platoon.
Awesome.
However, we are having a special. This is going to be aired differently. Huh? Early birds.
There will be some early bird specials that will be run. Yes. So
yeah, there'll be some early bird specials, yep. And if you look at our website, occasionally our Facebook page, there's occasionally different sales we run, but that's the basic price for the retreat.
Yeah,
I want to point out that just the food alone is worth it. We have a professional chef at each of our retreats.
Okay.
You will eat very well. You will be spiritually nourished and physically nourished by Sunday.
Yeah, so when you consider it, you know, that you're there three nights, right? So three nights lodging anywhere, if you go to any hotel, that's
right.
You know, that's $300.
Absolutely.
Plus all your food's paid for. And another thing to remember, too, is that, you know, this program is in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Virginia. It's Buffalo, New York, and it's Louisiana, and it's in Kalamazoo.
That's in Kalamazoo.
So really wonderful for people to go to your website and check that out. So I just wanted to insert that right there. So continue on with where we left off. Oh, and
sure.
age group, too. Can you tell us, Chuck, the age range?
Yeah, we encourage guys to bring their sons or nephews or grandsons age 11 and up.
11 and up. Okay, very good.
11 and up.
Okay.
And as we were talking earlier, you know, with things like the train or torchlight, we sit down with all the parents, the fathers and guardians the first night and kind of go over some of the things that might be talked about at some of these sessions. And we have alternate activities if, you know, if a father decides, hey, you know, maybe my 11-year-old's too young to possibly hear something that I want them to hear right now. We
right.
provide alternative programs for them. So.
Okay, great.
So Friday night, that's where we left off. You're very tired. You've been running around the woods all day. You went to confession, so you're tired. You're clean. You're cleansed. Your soul's cleansed.
Yeah.
And you go to sleep. And then Saturday morning, that's really the big activity day in that's the provider day. And so all of our activities on Saturday are built around the idea of being a provider. And it's important to point out, and we talk about this in our talks, when we talk about things like provision, we don't mean just physical and financial provision, right? In fact, sometimes guys are really good at that and not good at the other types of provision, which are important, which is spiritual, emotional provision. So, you know, when we talk about men being provider, it's the whole package, right? It's a holistic and integrated man. It's not just somebody who, you know, works 14 hours a day, puts bread on the table, but never talks to his kids, right?
A robot, also known as a robot.
Right. So on Saturday, the whole group is broken into three major teams. We have a fishing team, we have a outdoor cooking team, and we have a church building team. And so those are all around the ideas of providing. So fishing, obviously, we tie that in is the idea of simply going out and providing by, you know, through the physical means of fishing and gathering food. The outdoor cooking team, that team actually works on learning how to develop some outdoor cooking skills. For some guys, it's any cooking skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that whole team is building toward the Saturday evening feast. What they do is, the meal they're preparing is a giant feast that we all celebrate on Saturday evening. And then the outdoor church building team, what they're doing is we actually go out and pick a spot in the woods, and we're very responsible. We subscribe to Leave No Trace, but we basically use the wood that's laying around, you know, fallen trees, and we actually build a chapel out in the woods, and that is where we have benediction on Saturday night, and that's where we have Mass on Sunday.
Awesome.
And guys really get into that activity. They get super creative, and we have all kinds of – it's amazing the different architectural styles guys can come up with the same basic raw ingredients, right?
Sure, yeah.
In terms of building the altar, the ambo, you know, the crucifix, and the pews, it's really amazing. And then – throughout the day, what we do is we take guys and we rotate, and because we're going to be at Rota Kawan, which is an excellent facility, we're going to have both archery and shotgun. So what we'll do is throughout Saturday, guys will be rotated off of their teams, and I'll have an opportunity to shoot shotgun and also to shoot archery. So those will be going on throughout Saturday. And then Saturday evening is the big feast. After the feast, we have a Eucharistic procession out to the outdoor chapel and have benediction. And then we have another training under torchlight on Saturday night.
Awesome.
Sunday morning, we get up. There's an optional sunrise hike. Guys can get up. They want to get up at 6 in the morning and go on a hike. It's usually a very beautiful experience for the guys who do it. Then we have an early morning talk. And then pretty much at that point, we're then having a rosary procession out to Mass in the outdoor chapel. We finish up with that Mass. After Mass, we have brunch. Everybody works together, including all the participants, to clean up the camp, leave it in better shape than it was when we got there, and everyone's out of there by about noon to 12:30 on Sunday.
Wow. So
that's a bird's eye flight over the whole retreat.
That's wonderful. So as far as, I mean, I'm sure you've heard stories from other guys who have sent stuff back to you, you know, who have been through this, gone through this weekend, and have sent you an email back a year later, or a letter, or came back the next year. Can you share any of those stories?
Sure. I kind of put a composite together.
I mean, to kind of inspire the men who are out there who are kind of like, it's just, you know, going to go camping, and we're going to pray a lot, and blah, blah, blah. to kind of inspire those.
The best stories are the guys who will admit, you know, man, I didn't want to be there.
Right.
And sometimes they don't want to be there because either I was intimidated or I just thought this would be, you know, dudes in the woods. What's all that all about?
Too churchy, but, you know. I don't want to get too holy, you know, because, you know, I like to drink my beer and I like to swear. And
exactly. You know. That is actually, a lot of guys are like, I'm going to be out there with a bunch of, you know, Bible thumpers. But there are so many guys.
Catholics aren't really Bible thumpers, though. We're not really Bible thumpers. We're just...
Right.
We're kind of the Bible. What's the Bible? Oh yeah, the Bible. Yeah, I've heard of the Bible before. Yeah, we need work in that area. So another good reason to go, right?
Right.
So can you share some stories of some people who?
Yeah. So I know there are men who have written this beautiful letters afterward about how it saved their marriages. I mean, just that one weekend where it just changed their whole.
Yeah.
Perception, the idea that, well, you know, as a husband, I have to sacrifice for my wife, that I have to love my wife the way Christ loved the church. And for some guys, I know even for me, that was a major light bulb in my life, you know, in terms of the idea that, they learned that it's not uncool to love your wife and be faithful to your wife and to sacrifice for her.
Yeah.
So there's guys who have told us we've saved their marriages. There's guys who certainly got to that weekend and were not really in communion with the church, but you know, even by Friday had reconciled through the sacrament of reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
and now we're back to going to Mass and back in communion with the church. There's guys who certainly it's helped men who have had addiction problems, you know, guys who may have been addicted to alcohol or addicted to pornography, where they really realized after this weekend that, hey, you know, this, like you said, this isn't normal.
Right.
This isn't what I should be doing. This isn't good for me, and it's not good for the people I'm objectifying. And so they've had a turnaround in terms of it's kind of like you say, they got a weekend of, they got a weekend of normal, and then they realize, oh, that's normal. And
exactly.
What I'm doing isn't normal. I need to, turn myself around, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
So,
and some of those things that, you know, it really is an evaluation of our lives. You know, we're called to do that constantly, daily, to take a daily inventory on, okay, what transpired during my day? What did I do? Who did I help? Who did I hurt? Was I a leader? Was I a provider? Was I a protector? You know, and it's kind of the good news, bad news for men that, you know what, we are called to lead our families and we're called to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's a tall order, but it's all possible. All things are possible with God. All things are possible, including the most difficult things you'd ever imagine. And, you know, it is for me every day. You know, I'm married. I have a family. And some days are better than others. I mean, you have tough days. You know, when you're called to be a leader, it can be, the old saying, it can be lonely at the top. But the fact of the matter is, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to lead. He wants you to lead, and it's not easy sometimes.
Yeah, I think when men see that as a mission, and they see that other men are called to it and are also on the same mission, it makes a big difference than it's just sort of you all alone. And
correct.
And I think that's the other thing that I know men have shared with us is that it just opened up that ability. Because part of what we're trying to do, and I think men have told us that it's helped them, is develop healthy, intimate relationships with other men.
Yes.
Men aren't good at that, right? And unfortunately, our society seems to equate intimacy with sex, right? So,
yes.
So when you put those two together in a twisted way, you start thinking, oh well, if I feel like I need to be intimate with a guy. I'm crossing some line in terms of same sex attraction or something. And we're trying to teach guys that no.
Right.
It's healthy to have a good brotherly relationship with a man.
Right.
There's things that men can help you with. There's things especially older men can mentor you about, and things that you can mentor younger men about.
Yes.
That you can't get from your wife. And it's not fair to try to get it from your wife.
That's right.
But guys tend to struggle with that, right? So guys tend to have a difficulty doing that. And I think, one of the things that men have shared with us is that once they go to that weekend, they're more comfortable with that. And then if they're called to then maybe create a men's group in their parish, that's some of the direct fruit of that, where now they on an ongoing basis have developed, healthy, supportive relationships with other men.
Right. And I think that, what we're called to do, and like you said, we're called to be in the game, to be on the field, in the game, engaged in life. We're not called to be spectators, to just stand back and watch everything. And the greatest thing that we can do for our brothers and sisters is to help them. Besides say to the guy who says, guy comes up to you at work and says, my marriage is in trouble. I'm probably going to get divorced. And the only answer you have back to him is, that's too bad.
Right.
And then you walk away.
That's too bad. Or I understand. I hope you're happy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that happened to me. Whatever. I mean, it's horrible, but that's what the culture is teaching us. Instead, you have an answer back, which is, how can I help you?
Yep.
What can I do for you? Can I, maybe we should go to lunch. Maybe we should talk about this,
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in your life? That takes courage. That's what men are called to do.
Absolutely.
To have that courage to be able to do that. And going on this weekend retreat or, joining a fellowship within, even if they don't go on the retreat, maybe we can talk about that for about 15 minutes. We got about another 15 minutes. So
sure.
Anything else about the retreat itself or anything else you want to touch on?
No, I think that pretty much summarizes it. I would just say that, come and see what it's all about. We have a video on our website, and that's how it kind of finishes up. Don't let any preconceived notions, whatever they may be. It's funny because depending on where a guy is, he creates a preconceived notion that's the opposite of the guy next to his preconceived notion. this is for tough guys, or no, this isn't tough enough, or
Right.
Come out and experience it. You will not regret it. It's a great time. So I guess what I would talk about maybe is some other things that we do in our apostolate, and it kind of relates to Into the Wild. Into the Wild often
Absolutely.
Is sort of the what we call the top of the funnel for our apostolate. And so coming out of the funnel, right, where most people who experience our apostolate, it starts off with Into the Wild, and I'm a classic example of that.
Okay.
After Into the Wild, to your point, we call guys to get engaged in the battle. So don't just like take this as this is my personal, I got high for a weekend on the retreat and now I'll just try to feel good myself. You need to go out and get involved. So
right.
Men coming out of the retreat actually they're not mutually exclusive, will get involved with a parish level formation group, which we can help them set up. The other thing we ask them to do is to get involved in noble battles. And we've identified as an apostolate three noble battles that we think are paramount right now in our society. And they are fighting pornography, defending marriage, and fighting abortion. So what we ask guys to do is to get actively involved in fighting, one or more of those battles, if not all three. Now that can look all different kinds of ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of guys, that could be a very activist approach where we encourage guys to do that. And we help them figure out how to be an activist, how to get out there, feel comfortable, witnessing at an abortion clinic, witnessing in front of an adult bookstore. A bunch of us went down to Washington a couple weeks ago and we marched in the March for Marriage. So it could be, that could manifest itself as being an activist. It could manifest itself in just being a more knowledgeable citizen and voter and being involved with what's going on in terms of your legislature and understand what these laws mean and how they impact our society. It's all about having guys realize it's their mission to fight for the common good. they have to be involved in fighting for the common good. They have to understand what the common good is, mm-hmm. and they have to figure out what's the best way for them to use their talents to be involved. It could also be exactly what you said. Hey, when you're at work or you're just around, you're at the baseball field, and guys talk about, I'm getting divorced, or, you know, I think I'm going to have an affair, or whatever.
Yeah.
That you don't just go along and say, oh, well, you know, if that makes you happy. You stand up for what's right. You do it charitably.
Right.
But you're a leader in the sense that, you know, your job is also to try to help protect the women and children that may not be necessarily your wife and family. If some guy is talking to you about being unfaithful, or, you know, stand up for what's right.
Right.
Don't just reinforce that behavior. So we get guys to try to be engaged in the battle. The other thing we have now is we have this Samson retreat, which is a healing retreat. And the Samson retreat, a lot of guys who go to Into the Wild and through the whole weekend experience or through training under torchlight or whatever, they might start to realize, hey, you know, I need to go a little deeper on this. I do need to maybe – I got a wound that I really have to get some healing on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not – you know, we're all going to go so deep on Into the Wild retreat. That's not designed for a, you know, a deep dive into sort of your soul or to your wound. So
right.
The Samson retreat – and those are all offered – right now they're only offered in one location. We have there's a retreat house we use, which is in South Jersey, although people do travel there from around the country. That whole retreat is built around the theology of the cross, right? And this is where we invite guys in to really understand, you know, their wounds, their trials, mm-hmm. and to nail them to the cross of Christ and to transform them from obstacles that are holding them back or are weighing them down, and turn those wounds into a source of power, right? To embrace redemptive suffering, basically, right? To,
awesome.
To give your pain purpose. And by joining it to the cross of Christ, it becomes a source of power and a source of redemption, not something that's just dragging you down and controlling you. So guys go to that retreat, maybe who have all kinds of different issues of abandonment or
sure.
maybe abuse or, you know.
You bet. Now, does that, Chuck, is that a separate website, or can they?
That is a separate website, and I'm
going to let you try to find that while I'm going to tell everybody who we're talking with. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick with Holy Family Radio in Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids, and we're speaking with Chuck Harvey, who is one of the guys who runs the King's Men Into the Wild retreat, which is going to be October 9th through the 12th here at in Kalamazoo at the Rotokoan Boy Scout camp out there. And it's for men and young men 11 on up, and it's a spiritual retreat. They're going to have mass. It's just a wonderful retreat to go on. So we're encouraging you, if you've never been to one of these before, and I'm hoping to go too. I'm hoping maybe one or two of my boys want to go to it too, my sons. They're older now, but I know the whole, you know, shooting arrows and shooting shotguns and walking in the woods, they like doing that stuff. So were you able to find anything?
Yeah, make sure I spelled it right. Yeah, it's www.samsonretreat.com. That's SAMSON retreat.com.
Okay, so that's for the, if you want to go deeper, and if you've got stuff that you know that's, you know, stuff that's happened, and this is the things that happen to us as you know, tough things happen in our lives, bad things happen in our lives, and you want to try to, you know, work that stuff out, and it can be affecting your marriage, it can be affecting your work life, it can be affecting your spiritual life, and to try to address some of that stuff to become healed. You know, some of that stuff never goes away, but the healing can happen. There can be great healing that can happen and on a retreat like that Samson retreat.
Right.
But this Into the Wild, there's Into the Wild Weekend.com is the other website to register, and they're expecting you know, 90 to 120 guys, and they're going to break out into smaller groups. So They're going to have adoration. They're going to have mass. They're going to have tons of great food. So we're encouraging everybody to do that. So is there anything else you want to talk to in regards to that Samson retreat? Or?
Well, you know, one thing that I thought of when you were talking is that one thing we tell guys.
It's Deacon. I appreciate you calling me Father, but.
I'm sorry, did I claim
Deacon? Well, my parish priest will get mad at me. And, you know, oh, I see you've become a priest now. Oh, yeah. No, I'm still a deacon.
Still a deacon. You know, one of the things we talk about at Samson is, you know, when a man is on the cross, our job as his brother isn't to tell him to get off the cross. It's
right.
To stand with him. It's to stand with him on the cross, not to try to make it go away. It's to stand with him on the cross. And like you said, these pains don't go away. It's to transform their meaning and give them purpose, not to pretend they're not there or somehow, you know, just make them go away, because it doesn't go away. And you know, just like our Savior's wounds, they don't go away. They're still there.
That's correct. That's correct. And I'm glad you mentioned that too, because, you know, I use the cross and the crucifixion. You know, for us as Catholics, we have the corpus on the cross, because quite frankly, the crucifixion continues. In our society, in our culture, but as men in our families, sometimes we're called to do exactly that, which is that type of sacrifice, willing to die for our families, not only, you know, for what we want. You know, we have to sacrifice for our families. To be real men, to be real, you know, to be real fathers, to be real husbands. We're called
Amen.
To do that.
That's not a very popular story, but that's the program.
Well, it's the truth of it. And if you're willing to do that, the good news is this, and this is the truth, and you know this, and other people who are listening who have been through it know this, that yes, the crucifying is hell. There's no doubt about that. But in 3 days, there's the resurrection. And sometimes it can happen in 3 hours. After you've surrendered yourself, after you've said you're sorry, after you've asked for forgiveness, after you've gone to reconciliation, after you've gone to one of these retreats, after you've helped another man who's in need, not with just saying the words, well, that's too bad, I'm sorry to hear that you're getting divorced, but to say the words, hey, maybe we should talk about this. I know some guys we can talk to about this. Maybe we should just, maybe you need to just slow down for a minute. Is there anything I can do to help you? Can I pray with you? And not just, you know, this newest thing, too, with, you know, we often say that, you know, well, I'll pray for you. Oh, okay. Well, how about you pray with me right now?
Right.
Right now. You don't have to hold hands with a guy if you don't want to, but you sure can put your hand on his shoulder. And you can think of a prayer. You know, dear God, help my friend. Dear God, help me to have the courage to help my friend.
Right.
And to help his family. So, yeah, so continue on. We've got 5 minutes left, so.
I do want to say that what you just said is so important, because I know that I even struggle with that. I think it's something that we
struggle
with, guys. That simple thing of, you know, that's even a way of sort of avoiding intimacy, right? Oh, that's great.
Yes,
I'll pray
it
for
is.
You.
Absolutely. I'll ask my wife to pray for you. How's that? No,
I was going to mention, talking about Into the Wild. You know, one of the things about Into the Wild, and I know it's going to be a success here in Kalamazoo, and I know we're going to be back next year, is that part of the whole experience is, you know, a lot of guys come back, right?
Yeah.
And so, and one of the reasons that they come back is certainly the Holy Spirit is always at work, and even though it's often the same basic outline of the program, something different happens every time. But what we do is we bring guys back to be leaders. I mean, most of the leadership on these retreats are volunteers. These are guys who were participants.
Sure.
So part of the whole Into the Wild experience is to grow with the program by coming back as a leader. So a guy who's a participant the first time, he might come back and just be a platoon leader, or maybe he's just in charge of the fire. But eventually, like someone like myself, I was just a participant. And there's many people like me who started off as participants and eventually become what we call the operations officer, which is basically the guy who runs the whole retreat. So part of what we do as an apostolate is to develop leadership skills and give guys an actual opportunity to actually lead and execute the retreat themselves.
Awesome.
And that way it's part of the experience to become a leader and actually do it, not just talk about it. So that's a big part of the program. So a lot of the guys who are going to be there at Kalamazoo, some of them will be, you know, local guys from the Kalamazoo Diocese who have actually gone to other retreats in the past to learn what it's all about so they can bring it to Kalamazoo and help lead it, in addition to the, you know, the Kingsmen staff who will be there helping
them. Awesome. Wonderful. So it's, you know, I encourage everyone who's listening to go to the website there to get registered. It's intothewildweekend.com. We're speaking with Chuck Harvey. And, you know, the cost for the program is anywhere from, depending on what your group, you can go in as a group and you can get a deal, but it's going to be right around $200. That's kind of the median range. On what the cost on this is, but it's, you know, 3 days, three evenings, lodging, and all the food you can eat. But more than that, it really can be a turning point for you in your life. And as Chuck had said, you know, if you know, things, you know, work just does not do it. I mean, it's just a paycheck. And sometimes going to Mass once a week, even if you're doing that, you know, if maybe you're only going to Mass, you know, once a month, and you're really looking for something more. You're looking for something more in your life. And I would say for wives out there too, especially for wives out there, listen, you know, if you think that this is something that would be great for your husband, encourage him to go. Encourage him to go on this retreat. It's only 3 days, and I tell you what, I think it would be that's important, you know, because some families will say, you know what, we just can't afford it.
Right.
And in some ways, you know, you might not be able to, you know, divorce is expensive too. You know, it's a lot more than $200.
Yep.
And so is a marriage counselor or a psychiatrist or psychologist. You're going to pay those people $100 an hour, you know. And, you know, I know firsthand in being in groups with men and talking with men, this type of camaraderie has been going on forever. And it is, without a doubt, I believe, the most healing. Because it's without any strings, you know. I don't have to go back once a week for, you know, $100 every single week. You know, it's really a building of friendship. It's a building of a Christian brotherhood.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do want to comment on a couple things you said. Is a lot of guys do come because their wives actually buy them the ticket, the gift, and give it to them for
awesome
anniversary, or, you know, and
wonderful.
Some of those guys, you know, don't want to be there because my wife got me this, and then by Sunday they realize they needed it.
That's
and
awesome.
Also, we never turn away somebody because of money. Now,
okay,
obviously we got to pay for the plumbing and everything, but
yeah,
if someone has a true financial need, if they they go to the website, there's information, they'll end up contacting me or one of my colleagues, and we'll figure something out. But we don't want money to ever be an obstacle for a guy to attend. And we realize that, you know, there's families out there who are struggling and have issues, and we'll always, and we have very generous people who are willing to sometimes give scholarship money for guys in need. So don't be turned away because of the money. We'll work something out.
Awesome. So we're going to wrap up here. Thanks for being with us, Chuck. He is with intothewildweekend.com. This is happening October 9th and 12th here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. It's a great retreat for men to go to. And, Chuck, thanks very much for being with us today. And we'll ask St. Augustine's intercession to help us to go to this retreat, and hope to see you soon. May God bless you, and thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Epiphany with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich, on Holy Family Radio. If you have suggestions or comments, You can email us at epiphany@holyfamilyradio.net. Also, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.